Chapter 10. Various parties converging on the sea. I went to a hotel near the Rough and went to bed. When I woke up, there was a ship not far away from the coast. The man from Scotland Yard, who had helped us with finding the Rough, was with me. I sent a note to Sir Walter after we had breakfast. We had a key to the stairs in the Rough, so we went down to the beach. We looked at the cliffs. There was no one else there, and there was nothing on the beach. The man from Scotland Yard I sent to count the steps of the different stairs was coming back. I was very nervous, because if none of the stairs had 39 steps, then the enemy had won and we were in the wrong place. 34, 35, 39, 42, 47, and 21, he said. I almost shouted with joy. We went back to the hotel as quickly as we could and sent a note to Scotland Yard to tell the police to wait in the hotels around the Rough for us to tell them when to move. The man from Scotland Yard and I went to look at the house with the stairs that had 39 steps. The man who lived there was known as a good chap by all the other people there. There were only 3 servants in the house. I went for a walk after lunch and walked along the Rough. I wanted to look at the coast and the house. I saw someone come out of the house with 39 steps. It was an old man. He came out and sat down with a newspaper. After half an hour, he went back into the house. I began to feel nervous because the house wasn't what I thought it would be like. I went back to the hotel and watched the coast. I started to feel excited because I saw a small boat stopping not far off the coast of the Rough. The man from Scotland Yard and I went fishing in a small boat. We caught lots of fish as we watched the small boat and the house on the Rough. We went close to the small boat and found out that the men on the boat were all English. The small boat was built to be very fast in the water and would get away very quickly from the coast. The man who rowed our fishing boat argued with the men on the small boat until the captain came out. When the captain came out, he was dressed in very fine clothes, but I was sure that he was not from England. I was still worried about something, though. The enemy knew I had Scudder's little black book, and that I knew their plan. Why would they not change their plan? I was worried that this was a trap to keep us away from the real place that they were leaving from. At 4 o'clock, we went back to the hotel, and I sat and watched the house for 2 hours. I thought about Caroline's lying dead. As I watched the house, there was nothing strange going on there, but somewhere, Blackstone was trying to escape from England, and we had to stop him. I only had one thing I could do. Keep to our plan and pray that Blackstone was coming to the house to escape. The house still worried me, but then I thought of something that a man in South Africa had said to me. If you are in a disguise, you will never fool anyone if you don't believe that you are who you are disguised as. It made me feel a lot better about the house on the Rough. It was nearly 8 o'clock, and the man from Scotland Yard came to see me. We talked about where the police should all be, and then it was time for dinner. I didn't feel like eating dinner, so I went for a walk around the cliffs. There were lots of people around who were leaving the beach. I saw lights on the boats close to the Rough, and everything looked very normal. I walked to the house at 9:30. I saw a dog as I walked, which made me think of when I went hunting in South Africa with my dog. I remembered how we lost the animals we were hunting because they stopped moving and looked just like the world around them. That was what Blackstone was doing. I knew that the policemen would be in their places now, but there was no one about. The house looked normal. All the windows were open, and I could see the men in the house were eating dinner. It looked like they were trying to be seen. I went to the front door and knocked. A man like me fits in with anyone he comes across. I've worked in lots of places around the world and can spend time with tramps and kings and be seen as normal by both. But men like me don't know how to spend time with men who live in comfort in houses outside of cities. They are strange men who I don't know how to talk to. When the servant opened the door, I didn't know what to say. I asked for the man who lived there, and the servant took me to where the men were eating dinner. I thought that if the men in the house knew me, then I could shock them into making a mistake. But when I walked through the house, I was the one that was in shock. Everything looked so normal. The servant asked for my name. I told her without hesitating. When I walked into the dining room, the old man I saw reading the newspapers stood up. He was dressed in his dinner clothes. "Mr. Hannay, you wanted to see me?" he asked me. Then he turned to his guests and said, "I will be back in a minute. We better go to the smoking room." No one in the room seemed to know me. I wasn't certain anymore, but I had to go with the plan I had. "I think we have met before. I think you all know why I am here," I replied, as I sat down in the dining room. There was very little light in the room, but they all seemed to be very confused. Maybe, I am not very good at remembering things, but you will have to tell me why you are here, because I really don't know," the old man told me. "Well then, I have come to tell you that the game is up. The three of you are under arrest," I said. I felt like a fool as I sat in the dining room. "Arrest? Arrest? Good God, what for?" The old man was in shock. "For the murder of Mr. Scudder in London on 23rd of May," I replied. "I've never heard of him," the old man said. "That man was the one in the paper who was murdered. I read about it. You must be mad. Where did you come from?" one of the guests asked. "Scotland Yard," I said. The room was silent. Then one man looked at the table. He looked very confused. Then the third man spoke. "Don't get upset, Uncle. It is just a mistake. These things happen sometimes, but we can sort it all out. I can tell you where we all were on 23rd of May. My uncle was in London. I was out of the country, and he was at a home for old people. I was at a wedding. Then I went out to dinner," the old man said. "I think you can see that you are wrong." "We don't want Scotland Yard to make fools of themselves," the second man said. "We will do whatever we can to help you, but this is all too much. I can't get over it," the old man said. "Everyone will laugh. They will all think you lead such a boring life. They will all be sure that you will die from being bored." "Now there's no chance of that," the second man said, and started laughing. "Yes, just think of it. What a story I have to tell. Really, Mr. Hannay, I should be angry with you, but it's too funny. I almost forgive you for the shock you gave me. You look so solemn," I thought. "I had been killing people in my sleep," the old man said. "It was all too normal to be disguises. I wanted to say I was sorry and run out of the house, but I told myself I had to keep going, even if everyone in England laughed at me. I thought about my friend in South Africa and stood from the dinner table. It was so dark in the room, so I stood and went to turn on the light. The light coming on made everyone blink. I looked at each man. They were the right shape to be the three men who had chased me across Scotland, but I couldn't be certain, for they were the same men. I had seen them all before, but if they were in disguises, then they were good enough to fool me. I hope you found out that you were wrong," the old man said. I didn't know what to say. I won't tell anyone you were here, but I'm getting angry now," the old man said. I shook my head. Oh God, I think this man is stupid. What are you going to do? Take us all to the police station?" the third man asked. That might be the best way to sort this out. I don't think you will take us to the local police station, but I want to see your police papers. I know you are just doing your duty, but this is getting old fast," the old man said. I only had two choices: arrest the three men or leave looking like a fool. I thought about my friend in South Africa. While he makes up his mind, let's play cards. You will play too, Mr. Hannay?" the third man asked. I went to the smoking room to play cards with the three men and sat down. It was very strange. They gave me food and drink, so it was just like the boring nights in London I hated so much. I was about to stand up and leave when I saw something. It was something very small, but it told me all I needed to know. The old man was smoking. He put down his cigar and put his hand on his knee and tapped it with his fingers. It was the same thing I had seen in the house that exploded. The old man was the same man. If I had sat looking at my cards, I would have missed it. But I didn't, and now I knew I was right. The three men were my enemy. The clock struck 10 o'clock, and the men changed before me. The second man was the murderer. He had killed Scudder and might have even killed Carolides. The third man was the one who had been in the disguise of Lord Alloa at Sir Walter's house, and was the man with the lisp. The old man was the hawk, the worst of them all. He was cold and looked like a bird. I went on playing cards, not showing that I knew who the three men were. But I knew I couldn't go on like this forever. Then the second man spoke. "Look at the time. We need to go back to London on the train," he said, looking at me. I looked at the clock. It was 10:30. "I'm sorry, but he won't be going to catch this train," I said. "I thought you had given up on that. I have to go. You can have my address," the third man said. "No, you must stay," I replied. The three men knew that I wasn't going to let them go. They had failed to make me believe I was wrong. "I promise you they must go, Mr. Hannay. Do you believe me, or are you going to make this difficult?" the old man asked. His voice had changed, and his eyes looked like a hawk. I blew my whistle. The lights went out, and the men grabbed me. They shouted at each other in German, and the second and the third men ran out of the house. I fought with the old man as the police came in. They caught the third man, but the second man ran to the beach. The door to the stairs locked behind him. The old man broke free of me and ran to the wall. "It is too late. He's gone, and you cannot get to him," the old man said. Someone turned on the light. The old man's hawk eyes were filled with victory. He thought he had won. The police arrested the old man. "I hope that he enjoys his victory, although I think you should know that your small boat was taken by the police an hour ago," I said to him, as the police walked away with him. 3 weeks later, we went to war. I joined the army in the first week. I was made a captain. But I think I did the best things of my life for the war and England before I joined the army. The end.